Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we conclude our sermon series on Philippians, God's Book of Joy. Now during that time, during this last month, we've talked a lot about joy. And you might ask Pastor Larson, why do you talk so much about joy? And that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Because real joy is hard to find in the United States of America in the year 2023. During the last few decades, our culture has moved away from God and moved towards more selfishness and self-centeredness. And if simply pursuing your own selfish pleasures would bring joy, surely the USA in the 21st century would be overflowing with joy by now. I mean, it would be like Disneyland every day, the happiest place on earth. We have everything we could possibly need, almost everything we could want, and it's all available instantly, all at the touch of a button. But America is not happy. It's miserable. And the statistics tell us that it's more miserable than ever before. And each day it's getting more and more miserable. If you don't believe me, let me just share two recent articles with you from the secular press. First, from Gallup, published in May of 2023, depression rates in America hit new highs. Rates of people who have suffered from depression in their life rose from 19.6% in 2015 to 29.0% in 2022, an all-time high. We've broken the record. We're more depressed than ever. And now from U.S. News and World Report, suicide rates continue to rise among Americans. Suicides reached an all-time high last year, 49,499 suicides last year. From 2000 to 2021, the suicide rate has climbed 35%. And it continues to increase year over year. We live in America, the miserable. But God doesn't want us to be miserable. He wants our lives to be filled with joy, His joy. But joy doesn't come from being selfish and self-centered. Joy comes from the Lord. He wants us to live in that joy day after day. But we can't do this by ourselves. Love, joy, peace, and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit are not the work of people, they are the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, which is why Paul writes in Philippians 4, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. Philippians chapter 4 sums up what Paul has been saying in the first three chapters of the book. In this chapter, he gives us practical ways we can live a life of joy through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through word and sacrament. So let me just give you four ways we can do that, based here on Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Number one, stop focusing on circumstances, instead focus on the Lord. Philippians 4, 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's easy to let our attitude be determined by our circumstances. When circumstances are good, we're in a good mood. When circumstances are hard, or there are problems, then we're in a bad mood. The problem is that if we adopt that mindset, we're going to be in a bad mood most of the time because there's always problems and the circumstances are never perfect. Paul knew all about that. He was writing this book in chains from prison. His joy, though, wasn't based on his circumstances. His joy was in the Lord. Here in Philippians 4:4, Paul is repeating Philippians 3:1, rejoice in the Lord. Last week, we talked about what that meant. Rejoicing in the Lord means first, knowing the love of Christ, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. How can we know this love? Well, again, through word and sacrament, we get to know Jesus. We understand his great sacrifice, that Jesus rescued us from sin and from the power of death. Second of all, joy comes from knowing the righteousness of Christ, the full and free forgiveness of sins that is ours in Christ Jesus. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Third of all, joy comes from knowing the resurrection of Christ. Because of Christ's forgiveness, we have eternal life. Because where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So since Christ lives, we shall live also, forever with the Lord in heaven. His resurrection means our resurrection. And that eternal life is why we can rejoice even in the hardest circumstances. No matter what happens, we know where we're going to end up, in heaven with Jesus. As Paul wrote in Philippians 1:21, for me to live and For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To rejoice in the Lord means to rejoice in his love, his righteousness, and his resurrection. Those are unchangeable, immutable, and they don't change with the circumstances. Number two, stop being harsh. Instead, be gentle. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Notice Paul does not say, let your brilliant arguments be evident to all. And he doesn't say, let your spectacular debate skills be evident to all. Nor does he say, let your overwhelming IQ be evident to all. What he says and what he wants us to emphasize in our dealings with other people is let your gentleness be evident to all. Gentleness is, like joy, one of the fruits of the Spirit and is perhaps the most underrated of all the fruits. Now, the opposite of gentleness would be harshness, right? Being rude, being crude, being indifferent to the feelings of others. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's easy to be harsh, especially when we're stressed out or when we feel defensive or when we're scared. Being harsh comes naturally to us, so naturally, we don't even realize we're doing it. How many times have we tried to justify hurting someone else by saying, but I was just telling the truth? Yes, you were, but you're telling it in all the wrong ways. You're being too harsh. Being harsh is bad for our relationships. Instead of bringing healing to a situation, it can bring more anger, more resentment, more animosity. As Christians, we should always tell the truth, but always tell the truth in love. Or as Peter puts it in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now, gentleness means being careful with our words, considerate of other people's feelings, and not putting someone else on the defensive. Gentleness means putting the best construction on everything and putting everything in the kindest possible way. You see, joy doesn't come from being selfish. Joy doesn't come from being self-absorbed. You know where joy comes from? Joy comes from great relationships. Great relationships come from treating the people the way God wants us to treat people, with gentleness and respect. Number three, stop worrying. Instead, pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These verses are very famous verses in the Bible. They are famous because they're true, and they're famous because they are so helpful to people. First, Paul tells us to have no anxiety about anything. Don't worry about anything. Now, you might think, oh, that's easy for Paul to say, but it's not. He's in prison. He's in chains. His life literally could be taken from him at any moment. Now, worry comes naturally to us. We all worry. We all get anxious because deep down, we're all afraid. Afraid of the past catching up with us. Afraid of what might happen today. Afraid of what could happen in the future. But God doesn't want his children to live our lives in fear. He wants us to live our lives in joy. Joy and fear are opposites, aren't they? It's hard to be in joy if you're afraid all the time. So God gives us an incredible gift to help us when we're afraid, to help us deal with our anxieties and worries. Whatever it is we're worrying about, God wants us to take it to him in prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Whatever you might be worried about today, and I bet you're worried about something, take it to the Lord in prayer. If it's worth worrying about, it's worth praying about. But God has one condition. When we take it to him in prayer, we should also be thankful. Thankfulness changes everything. Why should we pray with thankfulness? Because even if we're not sure yet what God's answer might be, we can be thankful because we know God hears our prayer. And God will answer us in the best way possible. That's why we should give our worries to the Lord in prayer. And when we do that, what's the result? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an incredible gift prayer is. Prayer is not a command. It's not a chore, it's a privilege. The privilege of taking your needs, your worries, your anxieties to the Lord, your Creator, the one who loves you in prayer. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So, how do we live a life of joy? Number one, focus not on circumstances, but on the Lord. Stop being harsh and be gentle. Stop worrying and pray. Number four, stop thinking negative and think tenerpola. In verse 8, Paul gets to the heart of the matter. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Joy ultimately doesn't come from all the stuff that happens out there. It comes from what's in your heart and what's in your mind. Most people are pessimists. They usually see things in a negative light. And let me tell you why. Because it's easier. It's easy to start thinking that the whole world is against me and then nothing in my life goes right. Why do all the bad things happen to me? That's natural for us. It doesn't help. It just makes us miserable. God doesn't want us to be thinking negatively. Now, you might be thinking and jumping the gun here, saying, so if we're not supposed to think negatively, then God wants us always to think positively. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. It's not just, hey, be positive. Positive thinking. Nope. The Bible doesn't say we should always be positive. That's not realistic. God says we should think tenerpola, T-N-R-P-L-A. That stands for that which is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Tenerpola. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, too often we fill our lives with our minds with the junk of this world, the negativity, the anger, the fear, the harshness of this world. We think the way the world thinks. God wants us to think differently. God wants us to instead think according to his word. Tenerpola. Where can we find something that fits all those qualifications? True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. We find it right here in the words of the Bible. Now, that's what you're doing right now as you listen to God's word here in this sermon. God's encouraging and powerful word, which helps direct our focus where it needs to be. Because joy comes not from focusing on yourself, not from focusing on your problems, not from focusing on the world, not from focusing on your circumstances. No, joy comes from focusing on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who loves you. Jesus Christ is the one who forgives you. Jesus Christ is the one who saves you and gives you everlasting life. We don't rejoice in our circumstances. We don't rejoice in all what's happening in the world today. We rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.